Hey, podcasters. Clazzy, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, fresh from his best game ever, Andy Brayshaw from the Dockers.
Scotty Cam and Foreman Dan from The Block.
And find out why Kimber didn't feel safe in the city last night.
It's obvious she was walking with us.
John Farnham headlines live in the Vines at Sandalford Estate, Swan Valley, December 8th.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clazzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
We're doing it, of course, with our friends from Zachariah this morning. John Farnham leading a stellar Aussie lineup for Live in the Vines at Sandalford Estate, Swan Valley, December 8th. Tickets through Zachariah, tickets through Ticketmaster. Presented, of course, by our mates at Zachariah's.
The Big Breakfast with Clazzy, Matt and Kimber.
Shut up!
He's one of the hottest rising stars in the AFL.
Brayshaw, brilliant goal!
And he's our man inside the Dockers. Let's talk footy with Andrew Brayshaw for Automasters.
So the skipper's out, injured. You put him in the midfield for practically a whole day. Has his best game ever. Our champ, Andy Brayshaw.
Well done, mate.
Hey.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Man of the match. I mean, all those Marvel movies that you binged in all of 5 minutes must have given you the power of Thor.
They gave us a bit of power. Chaz and myself were feeling pretty strong.
So what did you watch? 22 Marvel movies in 4 weeks?
Yes. So in our uni break. 4 weeks, yeah, we got through 22. Yeah, 22 movies.
Your parents must be so proud. Okay? Just embracing life like that.
Mate, yeah. Did you do that just in time to play at Marvel Stadium this weekend? You're inspired.
Funny you say that, yes. I think there's something in the works, definitely.
It was a crazy kind of a game, but you were just saying before that, you know, for you it was one of the better wins that you've been involved in.
Yeah, it's a close win is always great. You always feel good, and especially when you feel like you've been on the ground a lot and you've been quite of an impact in the last quarter, I thought, you know, you just feel that extra bit better and you think that you've played your role for the team and even gone a little bit over. So really feel like part of that win. You know, sometimes you can be stuck on the bench and then the team gets up and you run off and you're real up and about. But then if you're actually out there and, you know, doing your thing, it feels even better. So definitely one of the most exciting and one of the best wins
I've
been part of.
Yeah, nice.
Well, we've had some close wins this year, and most of the time it's been Sonny Walters involved. But yes. Does Ed Langdon take credit for the winning point?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Great. He should have kicked the goal, but then again, I had a shot that
had
was a point as well. But yeah, no, he. We've watched the the last minute or so, and he had a good crumb and a good point. All we needed was a point, so there you go.
Well, we'll get onto Ross Lyon in a second, but I hear someone, a fan, was trying to coach you from the sidelines, yelling out 10 seconds to go.
Yeah, so the stoppage was in the forward pocket, or in our back pocket, and Ed, after the game, was telling me that he heard a fan yell out 10 seconds to go, and I thought that was pretty funny given, you know, the crowd was so loud that you could pinpoint and actually hear someone say that. So, you know, he knew what to do and so did the whole team. So it's great.
So did that information get relayed to you because you were the last person with the ball?
Well, I knew that there wasn't much time to go. Everyone in the stoppage must have heard it. If Ed heard it, everyone in the stoppage heard it. But I was playing forward, so I didn't hear it. But, you know, it's little things like that that can get us over the line.
Yeah, mate, it was a desperate scramble, wasn't it, in the Sydney forward line?
It was crazy. There was some big efforts. Yep. I remember Griffin Logue dived on a ball with a minute to go, and that could have been definitely a goal.
He's had a good game too. That the effort where he applied 4 tackles in a minute was mind-blowing. They did it on the couch. It was on the couch the other day.
I was sitting on the bench at the time, and he was coming up the wing, and, you know, the crowd slowly were building and building and building, and he hit the, I think, fourth tackle, fifth effort in a row, and it was one of the best things I've seen him as a player, but then the whole game, that was probably one of the defining moments.
Reminded me of Hayden Ballantyne and his absolute prime, who would do that. Four or five tackles. 100%. Chris Mayne as well, yeah?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, great. Just an effort after effort.
It was, it was awesome, buddy. Now, look, I'm sure you'll, you know, have to be careful in this sort of situation, but it's undeniable that Ross Lyon has been the sort of big news about the Fremantle Footy Club over the last sort of 6 weeks, you know, asking questions about will he be there next year? Is he being courted by teams on the East Coast? You know, that must have some effect on the team. How do you cope with that? And what do you have to say?
And are you going to sack him? No.
No, Ross is he's very straightforward with his players, and no matter what the media is saying about us or is saying about him, he'll, you know, treat each week the same. And he generally, if something big has been said, he'll address the group. And and he pretty much reassures us that, you know, he loves his time at Freo. He loves where the group's going, and that he's not going anywhere. So, you know, even if you read something, he comes in on a Monday and says that, gives you a lot of confidence, I think.
Yeah, it almost feels at times like the footy media. There's a lot of people involved in the footy media now. They're trying to stir the pot to get something happening.
Yeah, yeah,
it
I think
bizarre.
It does seem like that sometimes, but, you know, it's their job to make a story.
I guess.
The dude who yelled out 10 seconds will be vying for a job.
Yeah, give him a gig.
I've had a few fans come up claiming it was them. So it's been pretty funny, but yeah, it's really good.
With the real assist to help out. Hey, mate, Bulldogs on the weekend. Be nice to get another win and go 9-9.
It would be great. I think we're sitting one win out of the eight, but it's funny, you know, we had lost four in a row until this win, and now, you know, it feels like we're right back in it. So,
yep.
Another win this weekend would be huge.
Yeah, good, absolutely.
Do it.
Good to see you, mate. All the best on the weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you'll hear it all on Mix 94.5, of course, on Sunday. Western Bulldogs and Frio at Marvel Stadium, of course, 11 o'clock on Mix 94.5. And, of course,
everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Series 15 of the block. Scott, Cam and Foreman Dan. Good morning,
15.
Boys.
Morning. Morning.
Gee, guys, now this new building, it's this massive piece of real estate that's just been left sitting there. I don't know who owns these places, but you're taking it on.
Yeah, look, it was built in 1865, three-story terraces. Beautiful building, but then it became a backpackers and it was sort of a bit of ill repute, rent the rooms by the hour,
right?
Sort of a joint.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yep.
For many years in Grey Street, St Kilda, and then we've brought it back to its former glory. They look magnificent.
Now, you know, we've seen in the building industry over the past few years some, you know, things like the cladding issue and bad practices. And I think we've just watched Kimber hammer in some nails outside the studio.
What was going on there?
I think we understand why the industry's in turmoil.
Yeah. I mean, firstly, I didn't have my steel caps on.
Yeah. No.
Not allowed on a work site.
No, you didn't actually.
No, no yellow ticket, no nothing.
No high-vis?
Yellow ticket.
You did a fantastic job under the circumstances.
Under the circumstances.
Yeah. I said the real challenge would have been Matt out there trying to use a hammer and
I wouldn't
nail.
Have even tried. I wouldn't have even tried.
The yellow ticket, that's when you're sort of in trouble in soccer, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It's a good one. I haven't heard the yellow ticket.
Scott, if you've come in to break the news that after this series you're leaving, we won't be able to handle it, mate, because it's been a big week.
I've heard. Joe Griggs is gone.
Hey, what's going on?
The boys from MasterChef gone.
Yeah.
Dan and I are here to announce that we're leaving after this series.
No, no, no.
Or you're taking over at MasterChef.
Yeah. Yeah. Dan, that's not your case. You want to take Scotty's position.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm happy in my role. He does a great job. I wouldn't do what he does.
I'm becoming a cooking judge, and Dan's taking over my role.
Oh, there
you heard it here first.
I would love to see that. All right, cook that up.
Actually, integrate that into the series of the blog. You've got 10 seconds to go.
Look, can I ask you guys about the show? When, you know, you get some people on there, and they're kind of newbies, and they've got to do a lot of work, and some of them don't know what they're doing. How much do you think they do? Let's say if we broke it down to percentage, is it 70% trades and 30% of the contestants?
Well, it's not sort of they do 100% work all the time, but they've got trades with them at the same time.
Sure.
So it's not as if they sit back for 70% of the time and the trades 30% of the time the trades do 70.
Yeah,
they're doing something throughout the entire day and night.
Right.
They have to paint everything, to number one, but they do all the labouring, they do all the, and as they get better, they do a little bit more. So they start doing some framing, they start doing plastering, they start, you know, as the show goes on. But they're working as much as their trades are working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the way through.
And we saw last night at the launch was a great night there. And this building, I mean, not only, you said, 1860s it comes from.
Yeah, yeah.
So, my God, that's a massive job, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a very old building. And we basically took the whole back of the joint off.
Right.
To a block of land. And so the front of the facades were brought back to their original. The first room, which is the formal dining room, we've called it. And then after that, it's brand new.
Wow.
Okay. And contemporary.
So we've gone from the Gatwick to this one, and things just keep getting bigger, more and more square meters, right? What's the next year going to be as big as Optus Stadium?
No, we're going back the other way. We're going down because this was too big.
It's
and
huge.
We've worked it out. And
it's 2x1 villa.
Yeah.
We're like, caravan.
We just need something smaller. It was too big. It broke everybody. Like, didn't it, Dan?
It honestly broke us all. And we're talking about it earlier. We had meetings behind the cameras with the overall builders, the project managers, about budgets, about timeframes, and we actually thought we weren't going to finish the block this year.
Is that what you got plenty of times? Was it 14 weeks from 12 or something?
14 weeks, yeah. Right. And Keith and I were on the tools a lot of time this year just to stay ahead of the contestants.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was quite stressful for everyone.
So we, if we're doing, example, we're doing, you know, the master bedroom next week.
Yep.
When they were doing that, there was no master bedroom. There was no structure.
Yes.
So our building company and our guys had to get ahead of the contestants and build the structure so they could build the bedroom. Put the floor frames in and build it.
Yeah, from scratch.
Because there was a block of land there.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're getting to the garages. There's no garages.
Yeah.
They've got to be built.
Wow.
You two have got the easy job, though. You two come out unscathed. Everyone still likes Foreman Dan and Scotty Cam.
Yeah, well, that's the way it should be.
Oh, I saw a promo said, has Scott gone too far this time?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's
There's
right.
There's the door.
Also, I want to speak to you. If Shelley ever says she wants to leave, I'm in. Okay?
When I was saying, there's the door, as I was saying it, I go, that's the promo for sure. Sure enough, there it is.
All right. Well, fair to say that in your little challenge, would you say that Kimber nailed it, guys? Or what was going on?
Yeah, she was fantastic.
She did well.
Okay. Absolutely outstanding.
But really, the main reason you want to watch the block is that there'll be money in it for you. So keep tuning in.
Yes.
Well, you get the great
show and cash.
10 grand we'll be giving away. Yeah.
Like block who's there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, four lots,
So you've got four lots of 10.
Yeah.
Yep.
You watch the block. Who's knocking on the doors?
All three of us. We take turns.
Three of you.
Rotational,
Rotational.
Fun, mate.
Well, there's four, so there's three of you.
Yeah.
So we'll get one.
Yeah.
Come along. Last year, someone made us scones.
Oh, did they?
Well, we go to their front doors. It's great.
Well, they get 10 grand. At least you can do is get some scones.
Straightest job in the world.
Who the bloody hell's that?
That was our mate, Don Craig, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, good to see you, boys. We'll see you on the telly.
Appreciate it, guys.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
People rocking back into Perth with the City of Perth new plans to clean up the city.
Yeah, City of Perth Councillor Andrew Hammond has got a three-pronged proposal that he's going to put to council to try and, make the city a more attractive place, including three-hour parking and a homeless shelter away from the main retail precinct and also a forum for retailers to talk about their problems. But it's the homelessness that we all saw last night.
We did. We went to a function in the city and, it was pretty much every street we walked down.
Oh, and I've been honest with you guys before. I don't go into the city very often because I can get free parking at Karen Arp or whatever. So, I don't go in there often and I probably should. But we went in there last night. We had to walk 600 metres from the car park to the venue and I didn't feel safe.
Right.
Blanket. I just didn't feel safe. And I'm not a scared person walking the streets. I feel quite confident and not, but I felt uncomfortable. There were so many people around who were alcohol and drug affected. And we're talking, 20 to 6 at night?
Yeah,
6
it wasn't
PM.
Late.
It was 6 p.m. in the city on a Tuesday night.
Okay. It was also that key time, wasn't it, when shops are shutting? So people are trying to find a warm or, dry place to settle for the night?
Yes, and if you're not feeling safe, imagine how many people who are sleeping rough who don't feel safe out there.
Absolutely.
If you're putting plastic bags on your feet so someone doesn't steal your shoes because it's going to wake you up, that's tragic. This little dude who was in the lift yesterday at the Pier Street car park last night could not even put his backpack over his shoulder.
Yeah.
I said, dude, are you all right? And he's just looking at me shaking his head. He couldn't even walk out of the lift.
And then you saw 10 minutes later, he walked out in front of my car.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. People were walking out in front of cars. It was like, it was really scary. And this is
just sad though. I don't want to see people, sleeping rough like that.
No.
It's terrible.
An opposition leader, Lisa Harvey, mentioned the other day that she doesn't feel safe with her family. And she mentioned, I know the takeout word is the meth zombies.
Yeah.
Which, whether that was taken in or out of context, but I just hope that our debate is one that's full of empathy for people.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem. It's not a good look and it's scary.
Yeah, it is.
And
and
there are people, our people, who are doing it very tough.
Yes.
And I think one of the ways that we have to talk about it is one of, these are human beings and let's try and find a way to help them
And a lot of people will go, oh, well, it's drugs and alcohol and they shouldn't be, but lots of people get into these situations from ways that you don't understand.
Too
it's
right.
far more complex than that's why they haven't been able to fix the problem
and
yet.
The fall from grace can be very, very quick. You can have a life all set up and then the things can fall apart and sometimes bad luck and sometimes bad decisions and the like. It also does affect tourism. Let's be honest, if you're talking about trying to open up the city, it's not just for people, for locals going in and getting free parking.
No.
But there were a whole lot of tourists leaving the hotel on the corner at Pier Street last night as I left. And I was thinking, I wonder what these people people. This is us in our hometown. I wonder what these people are thinking as they are wheeling their luggage down through, you know, through Hay and Murray Street.
Look, it's not unique to this city, of course.
No, of course not.
It's a big city problem everywhere.
Yeah.
I think people, and again, I'm not going to profess to know about this stuff, about how many beds are out there for homeless people and whatnot, but I guess I do believe that one of the things is you can't enter these establishments if you are affected by drugs or alcohol, and you certainly can't take drugs or alcohol in.
Yep.
Now, if you're someone who's addicted to those things, that's going to be a different thing, a difficult thing to balance.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a fearmonger, you know that, but I didn't feel comfortable. I can say I feel safer in Northbridge than I did in the city last night. And if you've lived in Perth long enough, you know how big that statement is.
Yeah, that is a pretty big statement. There's no definitive answer. Let's hope. I don't know what this homeless hub means in the city of Perth plan, but let's
hope. It sounds like it's out near City Farm there where they can get some help. So, look, I'm glad we're talking about it, and I hope we can do it in a gentle and humane way.
Yeah, for sure.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
I would imagine, because Manu is everywhere at the moment, let's be honest. And he's popping up on Australia's Got Talent on Sunday as one of the judges, 7 p.m. on Channel 7. Manu, good morning, mate. Welcome.
Bonjour, bonjour.
Hey. Très bien.
Manu, if from memory, I think you did a bit of circus work or something like that in your career. So is that what's landed you on Australia's Got Talent? You can pick it out now?
Maybe a little bit of that, and the fact that I've been on TV for about 15 years. Yeah, I got a call from 7 and I thought it was a good gig, and I'm really enjoying it.
Well, you're doing yourself a disservice, mate. You know how Australians are. They'll see you on there going, what the bloody hell is Manu doing there? He's a chef. But not only did you train for circus, you can dance, you can cook. You're a triple threat yourself. Of course you know talent.
Well, I think we can all really judge talent, really. It's not the hardest job in the world, but it's a great show to work on. It's very entertaining. We see all different type of acts, and it's brilliant.
Hey, Manu, I was watching Manu's American Road Trip on the weekend. People love it. Doesn't matter what you do, what line of work you do. People love it when a bit of personality is added to a situation. You're sort of hamming it up a bit as well.
Well, when I do those travel shows, it's Manu. You just see the real guy.
Yeah.
When I do MKR, I've got a different role where I've got a judge, and so I've got a different hat on. And I think on AGT, I'm doing like in between, you know, like, so it's brilliant.
Mm. But how do you hide your face when you do see talent that you're not so sure about? Because it does bring out some wild and wonderful characters, doesn't it?
That's 10 years on MKR, you know, poker face.
Yeah, that's your poker face. Pretty good.
Oh, he's Lecoq trained, Kimber.
Oh, that's true.
Now, buddy, one of the other shows that does some cooking has recently lost its judges. So is there a potential gig there for you?
I don't think so, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm doing well with Channel 7. They look after me very well, and I'm doing all different things with them. I'm happy where I am. But, it's a very sad news.
Do you think it'll be like, you know, people say, where were you when Kennedy, you know, JFK was shot? Where were you? Where were you when George Matt came on MasterChef?
When Australia won the America's Cup.
Yeah.
Probably, yes.
Well, like you say, but you're well and truly entrenched in that 7 cavalcade of stars now, aren't you? What's your singing voice like, Manu? Because that's the next thing.
The best singing voice is in the shower in the morning, and that's where it starts. I would love to. I think it's one of the most amazing things you could have to be able to sing.
My people come from the north of England, so I love a good variety show, what we used to call people doing their turn, you know, whether it be spoons or you know, something playing the glasses.
Variety entertainment.
Variety TV is really great. It's, you know, great way for the family to get together and enjoy a show, isn't it?
Yeah, I think TV needs this at the moment. I think there's been a lot of craziness happening, and I think we need to have a family show where everyone can sit on the sofa with the kids and mums and dads and just have a good laugh.
And their devices while they tweet and hashtag about the show.
Without the nasty. Show in prime time without the nasty. Hey, Manu, all the best, mate. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you very much.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
Yeah, relax, everyone, relax.
Relax if you can. Mm. I mean, there's a lot going on in the world.
There is.
You seen this family that nearly got sucked into a sinkhole?
I saw the sinkhole.
Did in Indonesia, yeah.
I saw that story and I thought of you straight away, Kimber, because you like a good sinkhole story.
I do love a sinkhole. I mean, I don't want people to be caught in the sinkholes, but I'm just fascinated by them. Like, how much I feel like we're destroying our earth and we're all just going to fall inside it.
Mm.
It's a great feeling.
Yep.
But this Perth family are on holiday in Indonesia. They've been travelling around in their four-wheel drive and it got this sinkhole just appeared and the car was nearly sucked in and the mum saved the baby.
Yep.
Everybody got out safely. Very, very dangerous though. That's a close call. That's the moment where you're like, oh, we nearly, that was it.
Absolutely.
That was my moment.
Oh, did you see the woman in, was it Bibra Lake?
Oh, yeah, with the train.
Oh, yeah, because someone, the witness said they thought the car had gone underneath the train.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And
incredible.
It's just gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, her car was like pushed into an oncoming freight train.
That is a close call,
basically,
isn't it?
Like the boom gate hit the back of her car.
Yeah.
That's the day you'd go and buy a lotto ticket.
I think you're right.
Really? I feel like when that happens, you're like, oh, the luck is over and now, you know, I've used it. I used it on that train incident.
No, see, that's I should think more like that because that's fair. That's balance. You're saying, thank you, universe. You saved me. Whereas I'm going, I want more.
Yeah, I don't also deserve a lotto.
Yeah, are we being a bit greedy?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's funny, those close calls in life. You know, there were two Frio games this year where Michael Walters got the ball and kicked the goal, you know, pretty much at the end of the game.
Yes.
And I went, geez, that was a close call. Ooh, and again, deja vu. Go Sun.
But, you know, have you had that moment, that what was close for you, where you thought, I reckon that could have been
gone.
A very different sort of story?
I remember being on Barrack Street one day and a bus went past, you know, just where we were last night pretty much, just at the entry there, just sort of Murray Street Mall actually, and a bus went past and I was standing a bit too close to the curb and I reckon the bus's mirror was less than a foot and less than 30 centimetres away from my nose.
Yes.
And you feel that wind gush as you hit the microphone. And you go, it was a demo. And I went, wow, I'm 28 centimetres from death right there. Because you would be cleaned up completely. You'd be history. I went, whoa, that was a close call.
So you have told that story before, but you've never done the Michael Winslow sound effect. Mine was a bus thing too, and you know, when I lived in London.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But it was one of those situations where all of the traffic was going one way, but there was one lane that had was a bus lane going the other.
Oh, that's dodgy.
And, of course, I've crossed the road thinking, oh, well, I'm looking at all the traffic. It's fine.
Yeah.
And I was literally just about to step on when a big roar, and you think, okay, that's, well, A, that was, pay attention, and B, yeah.
I mean, like I've said to you guys before, I had that near accident on Bustle Highway when I was doing 110 and a car turned right in front of me and I swerved to miss and my car ran onto the other side of the road into oncoming traffic, etc.
Yep.
And I still feel that fear in my chest. When I think about that story, I'm like, that was my moment where I went, I don't know who was looking after me, but I avoided about six cars on a major highway head on.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so scary. I think at that moment, I'm like, I absolutely thought that was going to be my day.
Yeah, I can't believe you had a whole bottle of Baileys before you left home. It's terrible. Someone was watching you that day, no doubt.
And did you know, Renault have got in touch with her. They want to replace Daniel Ricciardo with him.
Oh, man.
Fantastic driver.
Might be Red Bull. They're looking for a driver.
My little Toyota Echo was airborne, I tell you. It was terrifying.
When you have that close call, how long does it take for your heart to calm down?
Oh, God. Crying on the side of the road while a couple of good Samaritans took care of me. Yeah.
Well, look, give us a call. We'd love to hear your close call. 133353. And, we'd love to hear your stories.
Get yourself a caller of the day prize, which is the Lion King prize. Pack. It's a double pass to go and see the film in Gold Lounge.
Ooh, close
and
call,
there's a
Simba
merchandise pack too.
Yeah, get into it. Give us a call. 133353 here on The Big Breakfast.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
We're talking close calls because we saw this family in Indonesia whose car was nearly sucked into a sinkhole.
Yes.
There was this accident at Bibra Lake yesterday with the train. A woman whose car was nearly taken out by a freight train.
Yeah, you just think, my number wasn't up.
And you never forget these moments because they're so strong in your mind. Clint is in Iluka. Clint, what was your close call?
Well, morning, guys. Mine was a friend of mine who was an ex-army guy, and he was working over in Baghdad for a private company doing escorts to and from the airport to where everyone to go.
Yep.
In the window coming back from an escort one day, they drove over an IED and the driver was killed and the front passenger was really injured. And my friend came over, he was in the turret. He was pretty much unscathed. But about a couple of weeks later, he felt a scratching sensation when he put his ballistic vest on. He realised there inside his ballistic vest, between the metal plate and the fabric, was like about a 12.5-inch shard of metal.
Bit of shrapnel.
when he went back and had a look at the Humvee that had been blown up, there was a little sliver of a hole in the side door, which obviously this hunk of metal had come flying in, straight into the inside of his ballistic vest between his skin and the fabric and the vest, and just absolutely just missed him by a mill. It would have killed him instantly.
Yep.
Yes.
A couple weeks after that, I decided to go home after that.
That's incredible. Yeah.
So that when your time's up, your time's up.
Yeah.
That was his warning. So he's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
so
he's
that
gone.
Was really terrifying to hear.
Wow, that is close.
That's, you've got it's almost speechless there, Clint. That's incredible.
Yeah. And you do think that in any of those sort of, you know, First World War stories or even Second World War, when people are losing friends right next to them and they're thinking, why wasn't that me, you know?
It's like the odds. Yeah, well, greater odds. Yeah.
It's just millimetres. If you just go think of the, you know, bit of fabric, metallic ballistic vest, and it's just that little gap there and just missed him by millimetres. Yeah. So, yeah, lucky for him. Gladly he came home after that, which was good.
Super pleased, buddy.
What about service people have that some pretty much survivor sort of depression as well?
Yes, of course.
Why me? Why me surviving?
Yeah, totally. Emma's in Secret Harbour. Emma, glad you're here to tell us about your close call. What was it?
Well, it was when I was back in school. We used to catch this bus in High Street in Fremantle, and there was a whole group of kids. And one day the kids were just mucking around and someone pushed this one of the kids in my class and he slipped down the curb and the bus ran over his feet.
Much damage, Em?
Well, he was on crutches for quite some time. I haven't obviously spoken to him for a while, but I know he's had a lot of issues with his feet, but he didn't get killed, so that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. It is, yes.
And, you know, kids don't think when you're mucking around and you're pushing your friends and you're being stupid, you're not thinking of actual consequences.
Yeah, that's
just
what...
a simple slip down the curb and that's it.
That's what parents and teachers called skylarking. You skylarking kids?
Yeah. Yes. Wow, thanks, Emma.
Good on you, Emma. Let's go to Caramar. Nadine, good morning. Tell us about your close call.
Hi, morning. It was when I was about five. Sitting in the back of the car, we had to go over a railway crossing and the train hit the back of the car, which spun the car, and of course I was thrown out the back window.
Oh,
and, I landed on about a metre away from the track, so it was pretty horrific, pretty surreal.
You were thrown out the back window. How old were you?
I was about five.
It was probably back in the day when seatbelts weren't such a big thing as they are now, right?
Yep.
Oh, seatbelts, what was that?
It was compulsory.
Three up in the back, you know, in the boot in the back.
Of course.
Yeah. What do you like when you see train crossings these days, Nadine? Does it freak you out a bit?
Still think about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, that is one of those occasions you go, how did I not get injured in that moment? Yeah.
Thanks, Nadine.
Hey, some damn good stories right there, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah, but big reminds you how fragile we are, you know?
Yeah,
like, we just need to take care out there and be careful and accidents happen, but geez.
And how lucky some are and others unlucky, just by millimetres.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
Better.
She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Now, they say that one of the keys to happiness is to take pride in your work, and no matter what it is, take pride in it and do it to the best of your ability.
Yeah,
And that will bring a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah,
you know?
Achievement.
Yeah, fulfillment.
Yeah. So imagine if you're, you know, an actor. And you decide, I want a career in the Chinese adult movie industry.
Sure.
Going to get more work than just being an actor in Australia.
You certainly are, and more interesting roles too, you know. So you've done that, you've gone, I'm going to do, and then you find out, you're trying to take pride in your work, you're doing great work.
Yeah.
And you find out that people can find your work by typing in sydneybushrats.com.
Where rat backpackers.
Getting a bit ratty this morning.
It would chip away at your, you know.
A bush rat.
Well, this is what's happened. Sydney is apparently battling a rat plague at the moment.
Yeah, it's disgusting, doesn't it?
They are everywhere and they're trying to get into, authorities are trying to get on top of it. They're saying it's caused, you know, major construction and infrastructure problems.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And also led to an outbreak of this deadly Leptospirosis.
Ew.
Sounds like he plays for, you know, Payak in Athens.
He does.
Leptospirosis. And that it's killing dogs, right?
Oh. Yep.
But this isn't the normal black rat. It's the Sydney bush rat.
Okay.
Which is a more shy road, and you wouldn't sort of see them running around on the street so much.
Yeah, they're right. Not in bars holding court.
They're not. No, mm. no, no. They like to keep to their own company. Mm. So, of course, people were, you know, interested and thought, well, I better, you know, find Sydney bush rats.
Yeah.
And so they'd be sent to this site
yeah.
and end up on a Chinese porn site.
Hey.
I'm sure this isn't...
The link's been sold on to someone else.
Yes, it has. And the Sydney council sort of apologised and said, look, you know, don't do that again.
Yeah, don't go looking for them.
Yes.
There Take was your mind off the rat problem, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, have you spent a bit of time there?
Yeah.
Why don't they just give the rats a little wooden spoon and a little chef hat and put them in the kitchen? Give them a job.
Oh, Ratatouille style.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, Kimber. Well done.
Oh, that could have solved everything.
Well, solves the workplace crisis.
Yes, it passes to leptospirosis.
bush rats.
Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Hey guys, back to school, of course, has happened recently and people are starting to settle in to that long term without any public holidays.
Yes.
It can be a long stretch, especially when a lot of kids, especially the little ones, can't really leave the class a lot when it's raining like this.
Mm.
So they get a bit stir crazy. But some of the cute things have already started coming out of the mouths or from the pens of the kids.
Okay.
You know, the kids say the darndest things. Now, Laurie, being a teacher's assistant, hears or reads quite a few of them, but she said one of the teachers from who's teaching another kiddie in another class said that he's written in his journal, on the holidays, my family and I went to a really cool place called Lizard with a Key.
Lizard with a Key.
They went to Lizard with a Key, and the teachers are going, what the hell is he talking about? Is he having dreams? He said, can you tell us more? He said, well, it's got a big walk bridge. It's got lots of water. There are boats and a really cool ice cream shop. He'd been to Elizabeth Key.
He had.
But he called it Lizard with a Key. I thought that was a beauty.
Lizard with a Key. That's cute.
And Colin Barnett's thinking, damn it, that's a much better name.
So much better than Betty's Jetty.
That would have got people in.
Actually, we'll take your calls on this, the cute or wrong things that your kids have said. I remember taking my niece Poppy to the circus. She was 4 at the time.
Mm.
Yeah. And they bought out one of these. It was a dancing pony. It was a pony that basically they'd taught to put its legs forward and back and do a little bit of a routine.
Yes.
Yep.
And they put the music on and the pony started dancing. And I turned to Poppy and I said, look at that, darling. Look at the dancing pony. And she looked at me dead, like sincere in the eyes, like she was so disappointed in me and said, Kimber, I think we all know that's a person in a suit. And it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard. I nearly died. I was like, she's 4 years old.
Yeah.
Wouldn't the logic for a 4-year-old be that even if it was a person dancing in a suit, they would think it was a pony?
Yes, yes.
She absolutely saw this pony and went, that's someone in a costume. And so at halftime, at the interval of the circus, I had to pay to put her on the pony to go for a walk around the ring
to prove her
that the pony was legit.
That's gold.
Oh, that's beautiful.
She looked so disappointed in me. Kimber, that's someone in a suit.
Auntie Kimber, you believe in unicorns?
You idiot.
Well, I mentioned it earlier. This, of course, went viral. It was a dad who was filming his son who'd just been to the dentist to obviously have quite a significant bit of work done. And let's just say that the dentist had administered things to make the child not feel pain and perhaps not quite know what reality was.
Is this real life? I can't see anything.
Yeah, stay in your seat.
That's not a scream of pain. He was just like spinning out at the world.
Is this real life?
Is this real life?
Coming to?
Give us a call, 133353. Tell us about the cue or the wrong thing that your kids said that just made you laugh.
Brilliant.
Love to hear from this morning. Share them if you're just on school drop-off.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
It's back to school. There's well and truly kicked in for everybody. And a little fella at the school where Laurie works has written in his diary, on the holidays, my family and I went to a place called Lizard with a Key. They went to Elizabeth Key.
I love that. It's so cute. Angela's in City Beach. Angela, what's the cute thing that your kids said?
He was about 3 at the time and we were walking through the shops and he saw a bit of a big belly and he
saw a what, sorry?
He had a bit of a big belly.
Oh, man.
Right. A man with a bit of, yeah.
Yep.
And he looked at me and looked at the man and then he looked back and he said, men can't have babies, can they? And I said, no. And then a little pause, little cogs are turning. And he said,
Too much beer, you think?
Oh, wow. Five. That's not bad.
Wow. Yeah, that's little. Thanks, Ange.
Very observant.
That's a good one.
And then they realised it was Captain Paul.
he's not listening.
Oh, he's not there to defend himself.
Oh, yes, I am.
Oh, he's always listening.
Hey, should we go to Tapping?
Always listening.
Natalie's in Tapping. Natalie, good morning. What was the cute thing your kid said?
So I'm going to have to clean this one up a little bit, guys.
Sure,
sorry.
Right.
Good on you.
My little one was about 3 or 4 when this happened. I had a little baby in the car as well. Dad needed a lift to work, so we all got in the car and they were silent for about a 15, 20-minute drive. Dad goes to get out the car and all of a sudden my little one says, "Oh, hey, Mummy, did you know I can't say insert F-bomb here?"
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Dad literally turns and looks at me, steps out the car, slams the door in my face and does that little cute little wave through the window and walks off.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I basically just said, "Well, that's right, darling. You can't."
Oh, my goodness.
You got this. I'm leaving you with this one.
Yeah, pretty much.
Thanks, Natalie.
Hey, Natalie, I got one of these for you. Might come in handy in the future.
Yeah, I think that would have been helpful.
Thanks, Nat.
Thanks.
Oh, because of course they are. I'm just realising all of this. They are sponges, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They'll follow your behaviour big time.
They're watching and listening even when you don't know they are.
Oh, much like the government.
pretty much. Yeah, big brother and little kids. They're watching. Yeah.
John Farnham headlines live in the Vines at Sandalford Estate, Swan Valley, December 8th.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.